Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 9. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. This is the text. Last week we heard Jesus give his disciples an object lesson on what it means to be great. Because as they were walking along, heading towards Jerusalem, they had been arguing amongst themselves concerning who among them was the greatest. Who was the greatest of the 12 disciples? In the kingdom of God, the mark of greatness is seen in humility. Greatness is found in the willingness to disavow any authority over life that we think we have. Greatness is found in those who serve without expecting to be noticed or congratulated for their service. Greatness is found in those who have compassion on the weak and the outcast, the helpless, those who do not have a voice. And Jesus had taken up this little child that was there traveling with them, brought him into the midst of the 12 disciples, embraced him, and said, "This is greatness." Now, what Jesus did at that point humiliated himself in the eyes of any upstanding Jewish man. Taking care of children, dealing with children, was woman's work. And important men did not do this. Rabbis did not do this. They did not take the time or even consider having the time for young children. So this is what happens immediately before what we hear in our gospel this morning. Jesus, he had brought this child into their midst and said, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Now, having done this, you would imagine the disciples, oh, they really learned their lesson. And now they understand their place in the kingdom of God and they know what needs to be done. And then you read today's gospel account and it's very clear that they still have no clue. Now, this seems to be a recurring theme as we read through Mark's gospel. Really, all the gospels. It's, you know, Jesus is teaching them very specific things about the kingdom of God, and the disciples turn around and kind of do the opposite, or at least seem like they don't really get it, because they aren't going to get it until after the resurrection. Remember in Mark's gospel, 2 weeks ago we read how the disciples were puzzled because they couldn't cast a demon out of this one particular boy that was demon-possessed. And Jesus said to them, this kind can only be cast out by prayer. And the disciples had to be thinking, prayer? I mean, you mean anyone can do this? I have to call upon God to do this? I can't, you know, we the 12 don't have it within us to do this? And that's exactly the point that Jesus was making with them. The disciples are very full of themselves, and they see their faith and the power of Christ, the ability to heal and cast out demons, and all these things that God gave them the authority to do as they were going out and ministering throughout Galilee. They viewed this as their own personal private possession, as if it were they who were doing it. So, of course, when they see someone else casting out demons in Jesus' name and without their permission, well, that sort of thing just, that has to be stopped. He is not one of us, they said. But Jesus, once again, puts them in their place. He says, do not stop him. For no one who does a mighty work in my name will able soon afterward be able to speak evil of me. You know, he is one of us because he is calling upon my name in faith and doing this. Now, when Jesus says, you know, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will able soon to speak evil of me, that word mighty, it's the Greek word megas. We use it all the time. Things are mega, you know, mighty, strong, big. This is the very same word that had been used by the disciples as they were arguing, walking along the road. Who is the mega disciple? Jesus says, this guy who you told to stop casting out demons because he's doing it by prayer, calling upon the name of the Lord, trusting in God's power rather than in his own power, is doing more than you are, because clearly he sees and understands that the power of God, the power of faith, it comes from outside of him. You, on the other hand, you mega disciples, think that greatness is some inherent quality you possess within you, or that, you know, you have as found in your status as one of the 12. We don't have status as Christians because, well, I mean, we are of, you know, the family of our Redeemer. You know, we have our membership here, and therefore we have this. Or I'm from such and such of a family, and we've been in this church for X number of generations. None of that matters. Everything that we have comes from outside of us. You know, the fact that I was baptized in one of the original LCMS churches means nothing. You know, it's not anything that we have, you know, inherently within us. Everything that we have comes from outside. And so we look at what greatness is, and debating about greatness is absurd, because nothing we possess is anything that we can claim as our own. In the kingdom of God, greatness is seen, as Jesus says, in even the simple act of giving a cup of water when it's done for the right reason. And when you think of giving a cup of water to someone because of Christ, motivated by Christ, if that is the epitome of greatness, then we must never think that what we do in this life does not matter, that what we do in this life has no impact. Now, what the world counts as greatness is not what God counts as greatness. Jesus chose to use this small child as the example of greatness, because that is how faith is perceived. The disciples saw greatness in faith because they thought faith and the power of God, the power to heal and drive out demons and such, they thought of that as their own personal possession that they had welling up within them, and wow, look at the things we're going to do. Jesus says, without the faith of a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The faith of little children is an amazing thing because they believe, period, without questioning. It's beautiful to see. That little child that Jesus brought into the midst of the disciples would be helpless in this world. If that little child was relying upon his own strength, his strength that he had within himself. Well, helplessness is the opposite of greatness in our sinful mind's eye, just as giving a cup of water to someone is thought as being a small, insignificant event. But to God, it's the standard of greatness when done in response to the gospel, because it is a act of kindness done with no expectation of receiving a reward. Our sinful nature likes to focus on the big picture and the big things in life. You know, we hear say, well, don't bother us with the details. We're focusing on the big picture here. But without details, there is no picture. It's just a cloudy blur. Certainly, no masterpiece is done without details. When we look at the doctrine of the church, the teaching of the church, what we have learned from God's word about God and what Christ has done for us through the work of the Holy Spirit coming to us in the means of grace, when we actually look at the detail of what he has done in our lives, it is a masterpiece. The word of God is a masterpiece of detail. The world wants the teachings of Christ to be a cloudy blur. We come together to see the detail of God in our lives. Likewise, as we interact with one another, it's in the daily details of your life that greatness within the kingdom of God is achieved. It's like in a marriage. You know, if I do all the big things right, but I don't pay attention to details at home, that would not be good. We can't just sit back and say, oh, I'm just focusing on the big picture here. We interact with one another in detail. An act of kindness here. A word here. The same is true in how we interact with one another in regard to our spiritual lives. God does not just waft through the ceiling and come to you and say, oh, here I am. Appear in some majestic spectacle. Faith comes by hearing. In your words, in your actions, in the details of your life, Christ is revealed to those who do not know him. You know, it's still totally the work of the Holy Spirit. And whether or not someone comes to faith, it's not the result of you or your clever words. And let me tell you, as a pastor, that is a great comfort to know that it is not reliant upon the cleverness of my words, but rather on the word of God itself. But in the same breath, we have to say, well, therefore, we can't say, well, I don't have the words, I don't have the right words to say, or, you know, the things that I do are insignificant. Jesus says giving a cup of water to someone because they belong to Christ, that's the epitome of greatness. So if that's the epitome of greatness, think of the things that you can do that epitomize that mindset. Do not underestimate God's ability to work through you. I mean, ask yourself the question. Did you come to faith? Did you come to know Christ through some great and mighty eye-popping spectacle that really wowed you? Or was it through the simplicity of water on your face, followed by daily or weekly exposure to God's word, which was in that water to start with? My guess is that for most of us, our parents or a faithful guardian brought us to the services of God's house, taught us the commandments, the creed, the Lord's Prayer. And as we sat there in the pew with our parents, we had no idea how dynamic of a gift we had been receiving. The seemingly small details of your life can be and are some of the greatest works of God. Do not underestimate God's strength and ability to work through you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.